Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hear the word of God from Psalm 23 for Good Shepherd Sunday. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear friends in Christ, to say that the Lord is my shepherd is to say that we are his sheep, which is very biblical. Psalm 95 calls us the people of his pasture and the sheep of his flock, as do many other passages. On the one hand, it is the greatest of gifts to be called a sheep of the Good Shepherd Jesus, because that means we have forgiveness, life, and salvation. We've got our God back. On the other hand, to be called a sheep is not necessarily the highest compliment. You see, sheep are dirty, dumb, and defenseless. Sheep are high maintenance, stubborn, and prone to strain. Not exactly a boost for the old self-esteem. Yet that's pretty much the way it is with us before God. But if being a sheep means that we have Jesus as our good shepherd, then we'll gladly accept the title. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If Jesus had not risen on Easter morning, if the tomb of Christ were still occupied, then you and I would not be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. If Jesus were still dead and in his grave, about the best we could say is, the Lord was my shepherd. But he's dead, and it's over. But because we have a shepherd who died and didn't stay dead, we have a shepherd who can create universes with just a word, who can split oceans for his people to walk through from their enemies, who can throw down food from heaven, walk through fiery furnaces, shut the mouths of lions, still storms, walk on water, heal the sick, manhandle demons, and raise the dead. Because we have a Savior who laid down his life on the cross, took our place in hell, and who they couldn't keep dead on Easter morning. Because that's who our shepherd is, therefore we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Good Shepherd loves us so much that even our bellies, our refrigerators, and our bread box matter to him. This is a promise that our shepherd will get in the way of anything that would rob us of our daily bread. But this is much more than just a promise for food. Jesus promised us in John 6, I am the living bread who came down from heaven, which a person may eat and never die. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Just as we feed off of the death of plants and animals to live physically, now we feed off of the death of God's only dear Son and live eternally. He leadeth me beside still waters. Water is essential for life. It might last a little while without food, but only a few days without water. But when Psalm 23 says, he leadeth me beside still waters, this is more than just a promise of H2O. It is a promise of forgiveness, of the living water of the gospel. As the Good Shepherd was hanging on the cross, dehydrating for us on Good Friday, he cried out, I thirst. As he was literally suffering, even in his mouth, for our sins. But after he got the job done and said, "It is finished," they pierced his side and out flowed blood and water, giving us an endless supply of the living water of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which we may drink in through God's word and sacraments and thirst no more. Jesus promised the lady at the well in John 14, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. For the water I give will become in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." And that water that Jesus gives is the water of the Holy Spirit and the water, the living water of forgiveness. And it's dispatched to us through the pipelines of baptism. The Bible says baptism now saves you. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's given to us, that living water, through the gospel of God's word. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. And we drink and bathe in that life-giving water all the days of our lives as our good shepherd carries us safely through the desert of this world until we make it home to heaven, where Revelation 7 promises, "And the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and we will drink of the life of Christ forever. He restoreth my soul." Even if our dreams never come true, our ship never comes in, and our situation never changes, we've still got our crucified and risen Savior. And who or what can take that from you? Can cancer infect your salvation? No. Are car wrecks and clogged arteries bigger than Christ's forgiving death? Not at all. Will bankruptcy nullify Christ's cross and empty tomb? Not a chance. Are your failures greater than Christ's forgiveness? No way. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This path of righteousness begins with repentance of our sheep-like wandering, and it leads down the narrow path to the cross, where the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1. We often mess this one up. This path is not first and foremost referring to the righteousness that we do for God. That's what we often think of first, but that's not. It's referring first and foremost to the righteousness that Jesus earned for us. This is not referring to the Good Shepherd giving us a to-do list and telling us, get it done. No, this is first and foremost God telling us that Jesus already did our to-do list for us when he kept God's commands for us, and he gives us his righteousness as a free gift in the gospel. This path meanders its way up to and through the empty tomb of Jesus, which was turned into a tunnel on Easter morn when Christ blew the lid off of his own grave. And it's only after we've been forgiven and after we've been declared righteous with the righteousness of Christ, only then does it become a path of joyful obedience as we follow our good shepherd on that path that leads to the grand vistas of heaven. Yes, the journey is dangerous, for the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yet our good shepherd is leading us by his word and by himself. He is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And he promises us in 2 Timothy 4, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." Therefore, it goes on, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now, if Christ is not with you because you're rejecting him, blowing him off, then you should fear evil when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. But for those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is nothing to fear, even in death. You and I have a Savior who beat us to the cross. He beat us to hell. He beat us back out of hell. He beat us into the grave. He beat us back out of the grave. And he has conquered death. the valley of the shadow of death that we still find ourselves in, now echoes with his words, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Don't be afraid. I am the living one. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Because I live, you will live also." We have a Savior who blazed a trail for us through this valley when he rose on Easter morning, and he turned our tomb into a tunnel, and even this valley into a safe place. The devil will try to scare you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but the angel on Easter morning says, hear ye, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he told you. Jesus has so defeated our death that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can mouth off at death, as Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, death is so defeated that it cannot touch our lives until God says, when God says, where God says, how God says, and for the purpose God says, which is to take us home to heaven. You don't need to be afraid of death if you're a child of God. The reason we don't need to fear any evil is because the one who checked into his grave dead, having forgiven all of our sins, checked back out of his grave alive, having conquered our death. And he promises, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That is, eternally. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Every shepherd has a piece of wood called the shepherd's staff. With the straight end of his staff, the shepherd would drive away any predators that threaten the sheep, like a wolf. And with the crook end of the staff, the shepherd would put it around the neck of a little lamb that was going astray or had fallen off the path and pulled the lamb back to himself. The shepherd's staff was both protecting and saving. Our good shepherd Jesus also had a staff, which was also made out of a piece of wood, but his was in the shape of a cross. And with the rod of his cross, he drove away our enemies, saying to the devil and to death, if you want my sheep, you're going to have to go through me first. And the devil and death tried to go through him and defeat him on Good Friday, but they failed miserably as Christ utterly routed them on the cross. And he proved it on Easter morning by rising. And then with the staff end of his cross, he pulls us lost, straying, and dying sheep back to himself and says, I forgive you and you're mine. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Our good shepherd not only rescued us from our enemies, but now at his table, the Lord's Supper, the good shepherd actually lets his sheep eat and drink of the very body and blood that rescued us, so that we will never doubt our being rescued. And we partake of the Lord's Supper in the very presence of our enemies, in the very presence of sin, death, and the devil, whether they like it or not. We partake of the body and blood that defeats them. And Jesus actually pours into our mouths the very blood shed to forgive us our sins, so when the devil accuses us, he can't make his charges stick. Yet the Lord's Supper of the body and blood of Christ, although it is the sacred remedy by which we conquer death, and it is also the foretaste of that great marriage feast of the Lamb that we will enjoy in heaven. Oftentimes, when a loved one dies, we want to go to the cemetery to be close to them. But the cemetery is really not the best place to go to be close to relatives who've already died. If you want to be close to your loved ones who have died in Christ, go to the Lord's Supper. For just as they are gathered around the Good Shepherd in heaven and they see him, we are also gathered around the Good Shepherd here on earth when we partake of the Lord's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. So it is here, gathered around the communion rail, that we continue to have living fellowship with our loved ones who have died in Christ, together with the angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. Thou anointeth my head with oil. Sheep get hurt. Thorn pricks, rock cuts, bug stings, serpent bites. Some wounds are self-inflicted, not following the shepherd, getting hurt on a dangerous trail of sin, butting heads with other sheep. The point is, sheep get hurt. Now, a good shepherd doesn't want today's wound to become tomorrow's infection. As a result, the good shepherd would daily inspect the sheep. As they entered the pen, he would make them walk between his legs, and he would inspect them for wounds, and then he would apply the healing balm of oil to prevent infection and give healing. Like real sheep, we also get hurt. Some hurts are caused by other sheep, but many hurts are self-inflicted by sin. Yet our good shepherd also takes care of us. Psalm 100 says, "We are the sheep he tends." Isaiah 40, "He gathers little lambs in his arms and holds them close to his heart." Now think about this. In order for the sheep to be healed, the sheep simply enter into the shepherd's presence, stand still, bow their heads, and let the shepherd apply the medicine that heals them. In the sheep's case, it was oil. In our case, it is the healing balm of the gospel, the healing medicine of Christ's forgiveness, life, and salvation, poured out on sinners through God's word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. "My cup runneth over." The overflowing cup was a powerful symbol in David's day. As long as your cup was kept full, a guest knew that he was welcome. But if the cup sat empty, the host was sort of hinting it was time to go home. On some occasions, when the host really enjoyed the company of the person, he filled the cup until it literally overflowed. He didn't stop when it reached the brim. He kept on pouring as it would run out of the cup onto the table. And it was a way in David's day of saying, "I want you to remain here for a good long while in my presence." In the gospel, the Lord has filled our cups to overflowing. If you want to know what's in God's heart towards you, "My cup runneth over." It means you have a place at your good shepherd's table, and he wants you to remain in his presence, in this case, for all eternity. And finally, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Just as a flock of sheep has sheepdogs nipping at their heels, keeping them with the flock, our Lord's goodness and mercy are his sheepdogs, nipping at our heels, dogging us in the good sense of the term every day of our lives, reminding us that we are really this loved, that the good shepherd laid down his life for us, and that we really are this alive, that just as death could not keep Christ down, it cannot keep us down. So that, finally, at the end of it all, we have this promise that is as certain as the risen Christ and his empty tomb. It is a promise that Jesus has made to all of us, his sheep. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."